you think I'm going to set you up with a jerk off Heisler? You got to admit that this kid did a pretty good dog and pony.
Are you crazy? I don't give a shit who he is. You don't expose me like that. You got to know better.
He's got it all pre-wired, Nikki. You go and you turn the key.
I told you I'm not interested. You know
what? You're never going to get another chance at a score like
why
this. What's the matter with you?
Why are you pushing
4 million balls? How many times do I fucking tell you?
He's pushing it because we're running out of time. I'm just saying, if I'm going to work with a partner on this, we got to start putting our heads together right away.
What are you doing in my house?
Take it easy. All I'm saying
who the fuck is this kid? What the fuck do you know?
I'm the guy who's been on this for 3 weeks, okay? I got to know if you're the guy that Max says you are.
I got to go.
Look, all I'm saying... Nick, wait. Nicky.
Hey, I ain't come 500 miles. Just Jack Teller, nice to meet you, too. What the fuck?
You're not smart enough to know where your dick is. We decided that you were going to sit tight until I called you. Is that correct?
Okay. I thought I could help you sell him on it. I thought you said he was already in.
Don't be so fucking creative. Just get the fuck out of my house, will
you? You know what? When you guys get your shit together, give me a call, okay?
Just the score. You have to do the score of the movie. It's pretty rad movie with the good performances.
No. I don't think the squeeze is worth the juice, okay? Who is this Norton guy? I know he's your friend, but no.
He's an Oscar-nominated actor.
Does he want? No. I can't. Me and you could work on something. You know, we could do The Godfather Part 3.
There's only a Part 3. Our characters have died.
Yeah, no, how's there a Godfather movie without The Godfather? I am The Godfather. In Part 2. I'm the original, technically, younger version. Hot version.
Technically, you're not the original. I'm the original because I played him first.
You're inspiration. Oh, wait. Hold up.
You copied my performance. Let's be honest. This is the worst burn of pressure.
Okay, so that was a conversation happened in real time about the movie The Score, directed by Frank Oz.
Trash movie. It should have went to, who was considered, Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas would have been a lot better than De Niro.
Whoa. Where'd you see information from? This information's incorrect.
This is IMDb, mate. This is the source.
I didn't read the trivia. I looked at the interview for Edward Norton for the promotional stuff.
Yeah.
And he said...
Was that the reason why you took the part?
Yeah, very much so, to be honest. I mean, I was just saying to someone else that normally I'd start with the script and the story and then move on to the director and sort of, in this case, even the possibility that the three of us could get together on it, I think was very irresistible to all of us. And we talked about it, made sure we were all going to do it, and then jumped in, and then sat down with Frank and worked on a script. So it was a little bit backwards, and it was largely because of how tempting the possibility was.
Then they did the script, so maybe they picked one. Like we had Brando had the least days; he doesn't have to do much.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Oh no, that part was made up. But
so they agreed to work together first, and then they had to find a movie to suit their schedules. / laziness.
Yeah, I think so. It was definitely picked for the who's attached actor-wise. And usually Norton, script first, then director, and then everything else falls into place. Like he's one of those pretentious actors who just has to see a vision there and before he can even attach himself.
I don't think this Frank Oz dude...
Oh, bro, out of his depth. Yes, I agree.
Well, what other movie did he do?
I could be wrong, but I think he did Little Shop of Horrors.
Directed 19 movies. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was one. And Little Shop of Horrors he did. The Dark Crystal. Okay, it's getting better. Yeah, The Muppets.
So yeah Muppets. Why did they pick him to direct a live action with actors? I don't know. It's very interesting. Has anyone ever worked with him before? Probably not.
Did they pick him?
Maybe they just wanted a name.
Frank Oz, he worked with Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy in Bowfinger. He worked with Kevin Klein in In-N-Out. Yeah, so he's worked with stars. Do you think De Niro and Brando picked him because we can just walk all over him? We're the boss on set.
Yeah, more than likely. So let's just, before we get too deep into the behind the scenes, I think that's where we are most interested. Let's talk about our first experiences with this and... Like our experiences now with it. So we watched this very young, probably in our teen years. Forgettable would be a way I put it because I can't remember. I remember little beats of this movie, like the vibe essentially. Didn't change the second viewing. This movie has its lulls, definitely. So
the pacing's all out. The pacing's terrible.
That's right.
scenes that should be half the time.
Yeah. Well,
like that heist, how long do you have to watch him climb grates and go over beams?
Yes. I felt my eyes getting really heavy on that scene. Like,
but to be honest, man, that's their money shots, though. That's like the best thing about the movie. That's why they want to keep it as much as they can. Like, keep everything in, because it's the most interesting things going on. Or besides the performances, of course.
Did the ending win you over, Tony?
Hell no.
What?
There's a better movie in here.
Mm.
Like, what you should have done, you open with De Niro's silly heist, which is so lame.
That was not too bad.
But you get the second heist done by the hour mark, or maybe hour and 10.
Yeah.
Because it's a two-hour movie, so you have 50 more minutes of De Niro trying to track down the scepter, because I didn't like the whole switcheroo. I reckon better if you got fucked over.
Yeah.
Then you have to find Norton, or vice versa. Like, nah. The two after, like, the cat and mouse near the end.
I like the switcheroo. That was a personal favorite that saved the movie.
No, the switcheroo, just keep the switcheroo, but make him chase each other.
What do you mean? No. I think you're wrong. I think you're really bad mouthing the best part of the movie.
No, I'm saying keep the switcheroo in, because that was the most interesting thing about the movie. Like, oh crap, look, now we actually have tension between the guys. Like, now let's see Norton try to get De Niro back some way.
No, Norton's done, mate. Norton's late. Like, he's fucked up. He got greedy. But you could argue that he has a point. Like, he is getting stiffed. Like, he's really crucial to the plot to steal this thing. Like, they need Norton, but they also need De Niro's expertise. So, but this guy's just starting too. So he's just trying to bite too much off who you could chew. So Tony, I hope everyone liked that little skit of De Niro and Brando.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No one's left.
Everyone's left.
No one's come back.
No one's coming back. Tony, you did mention you wanted to do the Edward Norton character, like, as his, the...
Brian, is it?
Oh, Brian. Yeah. So Tony, you told me you wanted to play the Brian character before the episode started.
Well, it's a shame, but one of the most interesting things about this movie is the Norton alter ego, Brian, you know, his cover.
Yeah.
It's the classic, what is it, don't go, what is it from Tropic Thunder, don't go full R word.
That's not appropriate, for one. Like, I don't think it's...
But in this movie, like, you hate this character no matter what, because he's having a...
Pretty realistic portrayal, though, right?
No, he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Norton is. But it's frowned upon. I don't agree with it. He shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, so on that note, I don't know. I think it's just age poorly. So I think at the time, I think we were impressed when we originally watched this.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But I think this is like the third movie in like his early career where he had alter egos. What, Tyler Durden, Primal Fear, and now this one. Like, he's playing sort of two parts.
Yeah, true. But this one's a bit more like controlled, I guess. And so was actually Aaron Stampler, actually, too. Yeah, because he's a great actor. I think you're right, Tony, talking about Frank Oz, because I feel like he just got intimidated and just walked all over.
Well, according to the trivia, Marlon Brando would call him Miss Piggy because I think he's the voice of Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
And then, like, it got so bad between Brando and Oz that De Niro had to step in and direct Brando for, like, an earpiece from Oz.
Oh, my God.
So, this is IMDb, so who knows if this is even true.
It's not surprising.
Probably is, but...
But you have to agree, bro. Brando's good.
Yeah, he is... You can tell he's not trying, but he doesn't need to try. It's insane. It's a crazy performance because everything he says is the most basic thing, and he puts these little flourishes in.
Yeah,
which is this magnetic.
Well,
it's crazy. I can see why he's like revered by the other generations of actors.
Well, we talked about instincts last episode and Norton's instincts and stuff. I feel like De Niro just has really good. Oh, sorry, not De Niro. Well, he does it great instincts too, but Brando has really good instincts. Guarantee you, he was probably the one that decided to drink soda water, guzzle it down, as you would. He probably did all these things. And, like, I don't know if you know much about Apocalypse Now. He was difficult on that shoot.
Mm-hmm.
The way they shoot him in that was just a happy accident. He's overweight. Like, he's supposed to be, like, a POW.
So he'd be skinny as shit.
Yeah, skinny as shit. So he'd come overweight and just, like, they just had to wait, shoot it.
So he's, like, the king of the POWs. He's living it up.
I think so. Well, who knows? I haven't seen the movie before, but I just know that's a famous story from it and how they had to just shoot him, like, with the light and And like that's what made it so magnetic.
To make him look gaunt.
Yeah, make him look gaunt. But just make him look, just to distract you from the fact that
he's a fat gun.
Yeah, well, yeah, don't fat shame, but yeah. He just
he's an overweight POW.
He wasn't prepared. So like I also watched Arnold of Dr. Moreau recently. He does make crazy choices in that. No. There's something about him, you can't knock him. Lucky for Frank Oz, I feel like Norton and De Niro have the same sort of respect and professionalism towards cinema, to be honest with you.
Yeah, for the craft.
For the craft. Right. And which is sad because they probably would have been both disappointed in Brando. Because De Niro was, I think I said this, but Norton knew Brando better than De Niro.
But they never worked professionally.
Yeah, no, exactly. So just think about this. You got these two actors. Okay, let's just replace Pacino with De Niro, and this movie would be a fucking hellfire. You don't
know. It would actually be better.
You don't have a steady hand.
Pacino elevates bad movies. De Niro, the whole time you're thinking, what the hell is he doing in this piece of crap? You have too much respect. Well, it's bad for Pacino, but you have too much respect for De Niro, you know what I mean, and his talent.
Yeah.
So you're just thinking like, why is he, like, he's better than this. But Pacino, though, you're like, look at him, he's having so much fun. He's making the most of the situation he's in.
Yeah.
With De Niro, you can just kind of sense he's like, what the I'm just here for the paycheck and the working with Brando,
yeah,
my mates. Fuck me, look at this. Brando, Pacino.
De Niro.
Fucking De Niro.
Edward Norton. But no, I actually do agree with you because I feel like De Niro phones it in when he knows it's not going to be good. So he kind of switches off. I don't think Pacino has that gear to switch off.
Yeah, he goes autopilot.
Yeah, because De Niro is definitely autopilot in a lot of scenes in this. But like his autopilot is still great. Like it's still better than most people's 100%.
It's not. But the thing is, Pacino is always interesting. He's always doing something like, what the fuck? Like that's interesting. Kind of like with Brando. You know what I mean? They're both that sort of movie star about him.
Like I'm underprepared and just going off their charisma. That's all they're doing.
Underprepared, yeah. Now, I wouldn't say Pacino's underprepared.
Dude, he just relies. Like, well, how many takes he has to do? He does like fucking 20 takes before he gets it right. So I can't say he's too prepared. But let's get off Pacino. I'm sure he'll come up a lot more. One quick question for you, Tony. De Niro or Pacino's, whose hairline would you prefer?
Who's more real? De Niro's is more natural. So I'll go with De Niro.
What do you think?
I like De Niro's grey streaks.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's my goal. Hopefully I go grey than bold.
You'll definitely go bold and grey.
I go bold then grey is what you said.
I want to do the old dye job. To dye my shit. Just like Pacino baby. This guy Pacino baby. No, I wouldn't do toupee. I think I've outgrown that. I know I said I would in the past, but
I watched the movie Tommy Boy the other day.
Yeah.
And David Spade. he has this like he styled his own hair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then all the hairstylists like, you look like you have a toupee. And like he didn't really listen to him. And then like halfway through the movie, like, let's pull a joke where David Spade's character is wearing a toupee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I think that's pretty good. He could be bald. Who knows? He's
No, he's not bald.
Mate, his hair's pretty thin and like Joe Dirt. He's got like that luscious bit of hair.
The wig. Yeah.
But yeah, so Tony, just pinpoint the moment where De Niro started phoning it in. Or was it a character choice?
I feel like there's a lack of energy, but it could be just in his character.
Mm. So yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like he's playing.
I think day one, he probably saw the effort Brando's putting in and like the respect, he's showing the director himself. But it was like, oh, nah, I'll walk through this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And Frank Oz is just like, what the fuck? Trying to put out fires everywhere. That's probably why you think they cut out some of Brando's stuff. Because really, his character is.
They did something worse than cutty stuff.
It's like an accessory.
Do you know what they did at the end?
What?
Sorry. At the end of the film, you see Brando's character finds out that De Niro's character gets away with it.
Yep, and there's like a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, he meant to have like a little smile, like, oh, thank God. But Brando refused to do that, to do the smile. So what they had to do in post-production is digitally insert a smile.
Jesus
CGI
Christ.
CGI one.
Hold up. Yes. I'm gonna go to my notes and scroll down. Jesse's eyes lighten up is like really great. Like I wrote that down. I thought that was like the best thing he'd done in the movie. Like just so subtle. Well, and
you're all for AI generated.
Yeah,
imagery.
In this case, I can't believe he did that. He did the old Wesley Snipes in Blade 3. You hear about that?
They CGI'd something.
Yeah, so pretty much.
Well, they CGI'd that one.
It was supposed to be. So it's another moment where the director and him hated each other just because he knew that the movie was getting given to.
What was it? Guillermo del Toro was the second one. He's a real auteur.
Yeah.
Like, and has a real vision.
Yeah.
And then the third one's, David S. Goyer, who's a writer.
Yeah.
Who hasn't really directed anything.
He could feel they were given, like, they were trying to, like, make it to a franchise / give the movie to Reynolds and Beale.
replaced.
Well, like, it's probably a snake in its own tail, too, because at some point, they're probably like, fuck, I don't want to work with fucking Wesley Snipes. Like, let's give them more to do. And he's just like, you're taking the movie from me. So, anyway, but he is so good as Blade. But he's, like, laying down and, like, he's supposed to be.
He is Blade.
I know he is Blade, but yeah. Well, now that well,
Chris Tucker said Blade don't pay no taxes,
but no. So pretty much, he's laying on the bed, like a hospital fucking thing, and he's like dead, pronounced dead. And all he had to do was open his eyes to like say like he's alive, and that's the end of the movie. And he wouldn't even open his eyes, and so they CGI his eyes open. You should Google it, bro. And it looks so.
Wait,
trash.
So he wanted to die. He wanted the character to die in this one because he's like he's out of Blade.
Yeah, I don't know. He was just.
Or was it the opposite? Was it the opposite, Shane? He had to die. So he had to close his eyes. He wouldn't even close his eyes.
No. He had to open them because his eyes look goofy.
Okay.
So easy
eyes
to
eyes look wet.
His eyes look goofy as fuck, bro. So Tony. This is definitely a De Niro movie, his first build, which I love.
Yes, it is a full-on De Niro movie. Too much De Niro.
I think it would have been better if Norton had a bigger role. I feel like they should just cut the cast in half and just... Because the movie's really only like good is when them two are in it.
Mm-hmm. And, you don't like the Angela Bassett character, the love interest?
No, that's what you cut that shit out. I know it's supposed to be character motivation and all that bullshit. But
yeah, that's the reason why he wants to retire.
Yeah. All right, how about we get into the movie?
Good,
Tony. I hope you got one organized.
I didn't do anything. I have nothing. I have zero. All right. But
well, let's mix it up.
The plot for you.
Let's mix it up. I'll do the movie this week. Since it's De Niro, I should do De Niro movies. You can do Pacino movies. So just give me some elements or some ingredients so we can. I should give you the information I need to crack this safe.
All right. So you want the digits, the three digit codes.
Yeah.
You need to pay 50 Gs for.
30 Gs.
30 Gs. You need probably the worst casting of a tech dude / guy losing with his mum. That guy's the worst. A switcheroo. A lot of people drinking like glass with drinks with the ice in it. Well, like clinking and stuff.
Cheersing. But what about betrayal?
Betrayal, yeah, because the worst betrayal was when Norton's moustached boss finds out that he's not really who he says he is.
Yeah.
It was the worst betrayal in this whole movie. He was the heart of this movie, that dude.
Yeah, that was insane. That was insane, dude. That's not like, it's crazy because you just like Norton. Like, he's a quality that you just like about him. That's why it's really hard for him.
Even when he's a neo-Nazi.
Exactly. That's right. Like, what movie has he ever played the villain in? Like,
was it the Italian Job?
Yeah. See, but he's entertaining as fuck. But Primal Fear, technically, too. But you also was on his side for the majority of it.
Yeah, it's like a reveal that he's the actual villain.
So it's almost like they're trying to, like, coast off Primal Fear, like, with the twisty ending or whatever in this. And just like, okay, he's a bad guy. They should have planted more seeds for out too, don't you think?
What do you mean, like him being more evil? Well, it was pretty obvious he was evil when was the moment, and he's like, hold up, I got company. And he just stands up and just lets him like hang for a bit.
Let him dangle. That was, okay, this is part of the plot breakdown. So let's just get into the movie. See, that's all your ingredients, bro.
You mentioned
like explosions, balaclavas, custodial work.
Did I say switcheroo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll do.
All right. So let's, let me just see if I can just drill through this safe and line up these gears, whatever the fuck they call it. The tumblers, line them up. All right. So We have a old school thief. He's like virgin retirement. He gets an opportunity for one last job. His broker has a job for him, but is too sketchy and he wants to bail. He gets convinced by a charismatic slash evil Edward Norton. And then they go down this path. There's a lot of talking, a lot of build up for a semi-good climax. And then there's a switcheroo and then movie ends.
Check.
So yes, I'm not the best smoothie smoothie guy. Tony normally puts more effort in it, so I hope you enjoy that smoothie.
People might enjoy mine more because it's like, well,
yeah, well, you do something. Do it. You do something clever.
You really put a Brando effort into that.
Yeah, movie opens up. De Niro's cracking a safe. It flashed to this party in the background. It's pretty fucking boring. It's just cool though.
Whole scene boring, bro.
I don't know, dude. There's always something good about cracking into a safe. So there's the part when you see like the tumblers like click, 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 and he opens it. And as he opens it, there's a good jump scare because they open the door from the party to here. You get this kind of like make out session. It's pretty interesting because she just wants to have a smoke and he gets like blue balled.
I don't think that's ever stopped me from actually, I've never had sex with a smoker. Actually, never mind. But I don't think that would stop any person like, I want to smoke. Like, all right, do it after or do it during. I don't care.
Dude, what? You know what I mean? That's rapey, bro.
No, them smoking.
No, what are you talking about?
How is that rapey? She wants to smoke and he was like, no, I don't want you to smoke.
Yeah.
It took him out of the mood, but I don't think any dude would be out of the mood if he was like, I want to have a smoke right now. I was like, all right.
No, I don't think that. No, the thing is, she was saying she wants to smoke, so she doesn't have sex.
No, she wanted to smoke during sex. That's what I thought.
No, she didn't. She just wanted to not have sex. She just wanted to say, she was saying no, Tony. It's sad that you can't connect those dots. Like, it's pretty obvious.
Oh.
And that's why he got blue board, 100%. And she's like, I just want to smoke.
I thought he blue board her. Like, yeah, you want to smoke? I smoke by yourself. Bye.
So you're thinking she should be doing a Kramer and multitask and smoke, drink a beer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
don't smoke.
But yeah, this scene, you see, he can be ruthless at times. So he kind of like covers her mouth, puts a gun to her, and says, "If you move, you know, he's threatening her." He gets away. It's cool. Like, you see, like how resourceful he is. He got this cool gas tank. Puts his tools in there and shit. Goes back to his car.
I love how the van has that sticker on it. They just take the sticker off.
Yeah, the balloon. Yeah. He does a lot of cool shit, but there's not enough of it. There's definitely not enough of it in this movie. I like this. I think it might have been in the script or this might have been in De Niro choice. But when he gets into the car and he's like struggling to put these keys in the ignition, I think he drops them at one point. But maybe that's just showing you he's getting slow. He's getting like sloppy, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to comment on that?
No, I didn't notice that. So what, he drops the keys?
Yeah, like he after you see all this finesse and like perfect professionalism, he just gets in the car and he's like, and I feel like, fuck. Like, I wonder if it was a choice or what, but yeah, he struggles to turn the ignition on. I think he even drops the keys. I can't remember, but that's the feeling I got. Like, so it's starting to get away from him.
He's, he's losing his skill.
Yeah.
He's getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. do you think that this chick, because they cut to her a fair bit, like the chick that had, do you think she'll have like a bit of psychological issues after all this?
The random girl that wanted to smoke.
Yeah, like she looked pretty distraught afterwards.
I don't think she's going to have many issues. She's going to have a cool story to tell. That's all.
Mm. Opening credits roll. There's like a montage.
What's your favorite credit? De Niro, Brando, Norton was your favorite?
De Niro.
Word.
De Niro. De Niro, baby. First build.
Mine was Howard Shaw.
Who the fuck is that?
He's the composer.
Oh, okay.
He also did
Fly Club.
The Fly.
Oh shit.
The Fly. And the Lord of the Rings too.
As if many people know that, by the way.
No, seriously.
Has he done a movie that we've covered? Have you look at that?
Yes, The Dead Zone, I think.
Oh, awesome. Actually, I think I might have brought him up. Yeah, actually I do like his score. And this score was probably very like it didn't stand out as bad.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. Was it, the score wasn't great though?
The score is a bad movie, yes.
I tell you what, man, like for the cast of this movie, the credits, like the font they used was very underwhelming. It was just like basic white.
Actually, when you think about that, imagine Howard Shaw saying like, what movie are you doing next? The score.
Yeah, I know.
No, but
I was glancing over my notes and like, the score is good here. And I was like, and I was glancing, I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? Oh, I was talking about the musical score. Yeah. So there, yeah. I can see where Howard Shaw is getting his confusion from in your hypothetical world. This like French shit's going on in the background. So Montreal must be French Canada, blah, blah, blah. So he owns this jazz club. And then you get introduced to Brando. Mate, the way he drinks.
And he has burned the screen up.
No, loving I it. Don't know. But he's the way he drinks.
He breathes some life into this.
Bro, I'll mimic.
Soulless.
I've got a cup next. I'll mimic what it sounds like when he drinks. And he's just like this. He's like. So it's like slurping that shit like a pig at the trough. No, it's disgusting. But like obviously he's like a wealthy man. And I think he's verge of dying. I don't know what year he died. I think it was a couple of years after this.
This is his final film credit chain. So yeah,
damn.
His final on screen performance.
So he lived really large. Actually, he looked at some clips of him young. Fuck, he was good looking. Like, and he was like charismatic, great body for like talented, the 60s, 50s. Yeah. Yeah. And like it just came all too easy for him. So he never earned it. And then obviously it just fades. And then he's just living off his like prestige and living off his experience. His talent? No, I wouldn't say talent. Like I feel like he's not that good. Like his moments.
His name's carrying him through the rest of his life.
This is where you find out Brando is his like broker, which I found was the best word to use.
I think manager is better.
I don't know. Manager doesn't really work.
The guy that pays him. The guy that...
Yeah, but no, but he
sells them.
He sells them. But yeah, so he has bad news for him. Like, I can't just get 250 grand for the diamonds. Like, the buyer's dropped out or some shit. And it's
she's 6 feet under, essentially.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's true or not because he's pretty shady. It'd be cool, though, if it was like one of his downfalls is his loyalty. Is his loyalty to him.
Or his greed.
No, I was talking about De Niro's downfall. Is like he's too loyal to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's why. Remember, he said, I'm not doing the job. That's why he says the whole fucking movie. He does the job anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and that's out of loyalty.
Yeah, it's too risky.
And the 6 million.
And there's too many like variables that he can't control. Anyway, so eventually he meets up with Angela Bassett. She's aged like fine wine. Like she's in like some TV shows now. She's a great actress, but just crazy. She's
in Vampire in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, she's probably the best thing about it, to be honest with you. She still looks fine as fuck. I don't know what the age difference was. Might be like 20 years maybe, unless like black don't crack, you know what I mean?
Isn't De Niro, he's known for dating black women too, isn't he?
I think so, actually.
So yeah. You think he was like, I want a black love interest? Or give me Angela Bassett.
Well, there's a good story.
She's a great actress.
I think it's a good story. I think it's him or it's Bruce Willis. It's one or the
Robin
other.
Robin Williams, right?
It's Robin Williams. Yeah, actually, that's the story. Yeah. So
Robin Williams tells a story about De Niro.
Yeah. I'll put the clip in because I don't want to butcher it.
You cannot top Williams, man. Yeah. Kill me.
I could try.
He's like the master storyteller.
I could try. I used to talk fast and like look at an object and like riff on it for about five seconds. It's a microphone.
I can guarantee you edit this out. You listen back to this, like, the fuck was I thinking?
We don't edit out the
anyone 96 is still a fucking trick to think that was going to work.
We don't edit out duos, mate. People will get the reference if they're movie fans.
I'm here tonight to talk briefly about a movie called Awakenings, or as it's known in Florida, Wake Up! I had the opportunity of working with Robert De Niro, a very interesting thing, and among all these people here tonight, you've done a lot of movies with him, but none of you bastards broke his nose. I broke his nose. Yeah, Mr. Method Prick. Bang! There, you method bastard. There you go. Yeah, I'm a comic, you piece of You want to do another 10 takes, motherfucker?
So she's pretty much like, they're like fuck buddies. That's their relationship. He is.
They're not serious just
they're
yet.
They're not serious because she's worried about. Well, she's kind of like flying around all the time. Yeah, his line of work is dangerous and her line of work is just not steady. Like, it's always
bouncing around. She's a stewardess, right?
Yes, flight stewardess. They love each other, but like life circumstances haven't really matched up yet. He's talking about actually settling down. Like, this is the first notion she gets. And so she's interested. There's a really good shot in this because I was actually getting bored. But they're talking for two separate rooms. It's just a nice wide as they're talking.
De Palma does it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, but like Frank Oz... I don't know. He needs puppets and shit. He needs to, like,
focus on what he's good at. But a good director makes any actor their puppet.
Yeah, except if you're fucking Andy Brando. He's like walking out of his apartment. He's probably thinking about, okay, I could probably retire where I'm at. Edward Norton comes in to the scene and is like, I was going to put the clip in.
So you don't even try the stutter stuff.
Yeah. He's doing his...
Excuse me. Can you help me, please? Can you help me?
Flash Norman?
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Nick.
What? What'd you say?
I said, thank you, Nick.
I'm Max's guy in the customs house. We should talk.
Did you know how much research he put in this?
He probably did a lot.
Was he following like some guy around and stuff?
He probably did his due diligence because he does it really well. Like he is like doing a good performance, I think. Hope I'm
now,
not being... Yeah.
Hoffman started this, right? I won the Oscar in 88 with the...
88? Or 98?
89.
Oh, 88. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about Phil Seymour Hoffman.
No, Dustin... All right, when I say Hoffman...
Oh, no, so
Dustin Hoffman.
But yeah, so Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man.
So he's the one that started this, getting the Oscar.
Yeah.
And then Tom Hanks
Well,
solidified it. Like, if you do it good enough, you're going to get the Oscar.
Yeah.
And then we have some failures.
Yeah.
Was it I Am Sam?
Well, it's just...
Radio.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we don't talk about radio. But yeah, at least in this, though, it's like he just breaks character, which is good. Because for some reason in my head, I'm like, wait, is he like this the whole movie? I kind of forgot. Because kind of like...
How did you forget that?
Because it's just like...
One thing I didn't forget.
Because, dude, how do you introduce a character like with the quote?
Oh, true. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
I was just like, wait a second, is he like this throughout? But like, obviously, times have changed. I don't think they'll ever do this again. Just for like... It's just too evil. Like, it's too...
Was it? It's insensitive too.
Yeah, it's too icky. But it works because he's a villain. So he should be a bit of a scumbag and like taking advantage of people's kind hearts towards the disabled. He just writes them off straight away, like, what the fuck are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He confronts Brando, like, what the fuck? Like, what are you telling me where I live? Blah, blah. Like, oh, he must have did the old dog and pony trick to you. Like, he's good. Like, he's trying to like spin it as in like, this is a good thing. Like, he's a good guy. And then next minute, Edward Norton comes in. This is like his proper intro. But I love it because Brando gives him shit like, you're not even smart enough to find your dick. Like, I told you to cool off. Like, it's good argument.
Like, we'll wait till we call you.
Yeah, exactly. So just let me manipulate him, not you. This is kind of what he's trying to say. As I said, man, his energy, like when he's not on the screen, is sorely missed.
He's young and virile.
Yeah.
Right.
This is another part I don't like. What happens next is De Niro sends a guy to his room to like scare him.
Talk about the jazz club, how he fucking stayed for so long on the singing.
Okay, I should have mentioned this before I started the plot breakdown, but I skipped a lot of Angela Bassett and a lot of the boring club scenes just because. Yes.
The thing is, Frank Oz wanted more of it. He was upset that he had to cut it back because the movie was going too long.
Bro, he needs a good editor. They should have took the movie off his hands. That's the problem.
This movie should be an hour and a half, hour 45. It just shows you what a power of like, a good editor can make a movie.
Yeah. No, for sure. Well, but
like Raising Kane cut.
You just need someone to be a cockhead and just be like, okay, it's our movie now. And just, I'll be cutting so much. I'll be probably even trying to cut at the Angela Bassett relationship. Like back then.
Isn't that what happened with Tony K in American History X? They just cut a whole new movie.
Yeah.
Cut his vision out.
But he made it better. Like they just streamlined it, I think. And this movie is a good streamline. But anyway, so we get to Edward Norton's apartment. Talk about American History X. You might still have a bit of muscle still from that movie. It's definitely dulled down, but there's, you know, there's old definition there.
The shape he's in now is probably the best shape you've ever been in. You never reached this peak fitness with Edward Norton's in this movie.
Yeah. Well, wait, you say my body?
Yes, you cannot keep up with Norton in this movie. You never looked this good. We'll do this. If you guys email Shane, me and Shane will recreate this scene on video. And Shane has to be shirtless. Knock me out.
Yeah, I want
we'll see how good Shane looks.
I want one email. That's all I need.
Yeah, and we'll make the video.
Fans on
we'll
film.
We'll recreate the scene.
Look at the bio. You'll see the email and I'll do it. And you can probably see how hot I am. Anyway, so talking about an ego move, what I just did. Edward Norton gets an upper hand pretty quick after getting
threatened.
I hate it.
Best thing, one of the most badass things in this movie.
Yeah, but you're really like raising the bar for his character. Like, I don't like him. Like, it's good that he's doing a good performance. You're not supposed to like him. But I find it, I'll be better because eventually all it does is just lead to them meeting up again, Norton and De Niro.
Yeah, you're just like saying,
I'd prefer.
Treat me more respect.
Yeah, I'd prefer if De Niro was just in his room there and had that same conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just shows he's capable. That's all it shows. Norton's capable.
Yeah, but it'd be better. You know what I mean? But I want him to get shown up.
Establish his credibility.
I know he is capable, Tony. We know this. He already did the dog and pony trick. Like, he already found him. And like, I just want De Niro to go, look, he'd be like this. Look, I can find you too. Like, he's like, oh, no, it's like, holy shit, how'd you find me? Like, I'm way more careful than you. Like, you own a jazz club. It'd be good if they play it more like De Niro outsmarts him. But I guess the outsmarting thing is for the end, I guess. You got underestimate him, blah, blah, blah. But no, yeah, I just don't like how easily overpowers him. It's pretty shit. That guy's huge. It is cool, though, he rocks up with the bat.
He's actually realistic ugly, too. Like, he's not an attractive man.
Norton.
He seems like a guy that would... No. The fucking hey, big dude that gets
some, there's some moments where Norton doesn't
he's
look
realistic. He's looks.
Yeah. Norton's the kind of guy who's like a hot guy at a pub, like in your local town. But that's his level of hotness. Like, he's not movie star hot.
Not movie star.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I think he holds a screaming Brad Pitt.
No, he does not, mate. No. That's why the movie works better for it too, because this is like the dream, like his dream version of himself.
Yeah. Fuck.
But yeah, fuck. He has a good line. He's like, "You have some third rate fog to get me."
Rent a thug. Yeah.
Yeah. Rent a fog. That's right. You should send that third rate rent a fog. I think, Tony, personally, I could write something better for these three actors to show off. Because I don't think,
this is the big scene together, the three of them.
Yeah, I just don't think that these three are serviced enough. Like, it's just such a basic story. Like, I guess like a high story is not that bad. Maybe it was just, like, it was Entrapment, like 2000 or 99. So maybe that's why they've kind of picked this one. Maybe it was a bit hot at the time, the genre. But I just think I could do better. Like, with movie stars, you just need to be all performance-based. Like, this is trying to, like, push this story along so hard. They really focus on the story about trying to get all the information they can about Robin from this fucking safe. And, like, even the setting, like, Montreal. Like, it's not the most, like, vibrant. No, I'm not from Shadow Montreal.
No, it would be.
Is it, though? Because it's underused in movies. Like, how often do you see, like, the scores in Montreal? Like, it'd be like the scores in the Louvre or the scores here, like some fancy-ass place. Like, it's, I don't know, with these three actors.
A better location.
You want a cliche location. You want to be as cliche as fucking possible.
Vegas.
Do like a fucking Ocean's 13 with Pacino. Shit like that. I have to watch. Mate, I was such a Pacino hater. Like, I'll probably watch it now. Because when I saw.
It's not that good. Don't get your hopes up about it.
Oh, is he do anything in it? Or is he just
He's all right. I can't remember much of it. And that's when I was on with Pacino kick.
Well, who's better? Garcia or Pacino?
Garcia's better.
Oof.
Garcia's better.
Damn.
And he's Ocean 11. And he's like the.
Yeah, but it's a better movie, too. Okay, so.
So, do you know the antidote? What was it? Antidote? Is it. Why do you say it? It's not an antidote, is it?
What do you mean?
Anecdote?
Yeah.
That Norton talks about this scene. You got to find the clip because he talks about how he. Like, this is really exciting because he's working with De Niro and Brando in the same scene.
Yeah.
Do you hear about this?
No.
And he fucking. He's got fucking Brando getting, like, fed lines for his earpiece. And De Niro's apparently really hungover. And like and Norton's there with his A game ready to go, and these guys don't give a fuck.
I can actually get a vibe that De Niro, because he's got bag on his eyes and shit, and he's just so drained. So
probably even partying.
Yeah, I tell you now, he phoned out. Like, he knew what piece of crap he's in. No offense, this movie's not great. I really was won over by the ending though. So, but just the whole lead up to it. That's probably why it's like it's such a bad taste. And when you get to the end, it might be like a little bit of chocolate or something. It's like, it wasn't that bad. Like, it's definitely...
Too much lead up. I think it's like, an hour of lead up and then half an hour of the actual heist and like 2 minute, 3 minute ending.
Yeah.
It wraps up pretty quick.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting your take out these like three actors. But that's the thing. It's probably one of the harsh truths that Edward Norton didn't really need to learn.
Not every movie matters.
But, But he's still going hard. Like, I think Mother Brooklyn was a couple of years ago, like maybe 3-4 years ago.
No, he's still in for it.
But yeah, he was like, I think he directed it and he was still like committed. So he hasn't like phoned it in. But movie stars are not made like they used to either.
Has he worked with Bruce Willis before? Because I know Bruce Willis was in that movie, wasn't he, for a bit? Yeah, has he done with Bruce Willis, him and Norton?
Don't think there's any. I think just that one, right?
They must have just be professionally friends or something, aren't
they? Yeah. Well, mate, they're all Hollywood, mate. They all go to the same parties. All Epstein's Island and shit. Anyway, but you see De Niro's interested.
He's interested with the $6 million, right? That's when he's like...
No, originally it's $4 million.
Yeah, that's what really flips him over the edge.
Yeah, he picked his thing. So he actually goes to check out the location. You see how cautious and calculated he is? Like,
with the reflection.
Yeah, looking for the reflection. I like how cigarette cards just look like. Like, he's way too cautious too for him, because you think they could look at some old dude and like actually give a fuck? Like, these guys are just
clocking. You never know.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But they're just clocking in, clocking out these security guards. Unless you're like the fucking...
Dude, that's dude. Like your attitude with work. For like, you put minimal effort into work, you think other people do?
Okay. So Tony, he goes back to Brando. He's like, okay, I have to do it for $6 million or I'm out. Brando, I just love what he's doing, bro. He's just laid back, barely talking and shit. So you get the cliche after this. You get the cliche like, he's done. Like, I'm done after this score. Like, it's it. And like, you heard it before, like every heist movie, essentially, like when it's the one big score at the end. Like, I think Entrapment's the same thing. He's like, I'm done after this. I'm done with this score. I'm too old. This is my last job. He pretty much lays down the law. He's like, it's my way or the highway.
I'm the boss.
I'm the boss. So you tell me everything. And Norton's doing a couple of little things where it's like, I wish he was a bit larger with it. Because I think it's too subtle. He's like more annoyed, but he's like, okay, that's fair. But obviously, Edward Norton's just planning just to fuck him over from the start. And is he hearing this?
I don't think so. I think he changed his mind when he realized that, like, he doesn't really respect me. I think at the very, like, the first, it's when, I don't know the exact point, but I feel like in the start, they just partnered up. If you treated me like as a partner, it would have been fine.
Well,
I think it was the speech was like, you got to play it safe. You got to do it. Don't go for the big hits. Play it safe. I mean, that's when he's like, you know what? Fuck this guy.
I don't know. I feel like... So was this negotiation about the $6 million in front of Norton or not? I can't remember.
No, definitely not.
All right, good. All right, good. Yeah, okay. So you think that was the turning point, that whole...
When he was like, you should risk it for the biscuit sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you should play it safe all the time. Really, because they're both risking so much right now. Like, this is his retirement job. And I think, he must have worked out he's getting $6 million. Norton's probably going to get a mil, like in like a sixth of what he's earning.
He'd be happy with anything. Essentially, we get to hear about the MacGuffin of the movie, this scepter. Still not that great. It's underwhelming, just like every other choice they make.
I like scepter. What did he say? A girl queen. He said it's a girl queen. If you say queen, I assume it's a woman. But he said a girl queen.
Well, I hear wife and I assume a woman too, but then I watch Dog Day Afternoon and that's Leon. Yeah.
That's fair.
So I do like, though, how it was in piano leg. That's interesting. Like, it was impounded because of bugs. Like, all that stuff's good. Like, it seems like it could actually happen.
So the plan was just to quickly get the piano leg and get the fuck out of there.
Well, dude.
But then the bugs fucked everything over. Or was the reason why I got stopped there was because of the bugs?
It was because of the bugs. Okay. Yes, correct.
Okay.
And I don't know, man. It'd be easy to steal from the fucking the quarantine area with the bugs and just bail from there. Because they don't know what they have yet. Like, someone will, but it'd be too late by then. Then just wait for it to get out of hand. Like, come on. Like, come on. You knew the legs weren't even a part of the piano yet. Like, that's a bad shot. Because they show a shot and the piano legs are like...
But think about it. How the fuck are you going to cut a piano leg off?
Like, I think when they showed, like, the bugs in quarantine or whatever, the legs were already taken off.
No, that's when they went to burn everything.
Nah. I had to watch it again.
They had to burn everything. So they had to disassemble it all.
Mate, it's already disassembled for shipment, bro.
No.
Anyway, you get like all this information. Like, there's no cameras in the basement. So it's pretty shit.
It's when they're casing the job.
Yeah, the case in the job now. I like how they like he gets in the car with the henchman. You let it go, you can drive around pissed all night, which is a good way to break the ice. And he's like, "Fuck you," and they end up driving around. And this is the boring. This is when it's so boring, fucking boring. Like, they're trying to get longitudes and latitudes to try to work out exactly where like De Niro is in relation to the building, so they can. Get in there.
Getting coordinates.
He goes for
I guess it's sort of realistic.
Yeah, it is. Like
they're doing their due diligence.
But you could just cut out like 5 minutes easily. And like just, mate, it needs to be like Taken or something. Because Taken
actually,
just...
I think it was like 5 minutes, but it felt like 10 minutes.
But you know what I mean? So make it it should be like a 30-second thing.
Actually, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, have a look.
It was like 10 minutes. Well, wow. Sorry. We'll go, to be fair, 9 minutes take. Yeah. The casing.
Yeah. So it's a 9 minute thing. It's a long time. And when I saw this grate, when he looks for it, like, yeah, that's definitely Chekhov's gate, grate, because he's definitely going back to that, which he does eventually. He goes right through the thing.
Was it the Titanic does it so well? It describes what's going to happen. And then when you see it, like, you know, the geography. But so, the way they do that in the Titanic, it's so interesting because you've got this, like, fat dude telling all the stories.
On that note, Tony, about, like, setting up and paying off a scene, like, Mission Impossible, Brian De Palma is a great example. Like, how quick do they run through and how dynamic is it to make it seem? How they run through, like, the obstacles they're going to face when they're trying to steal this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you get this shit where
very
it's just,
fun, interesting.
Yeah, this is not. This is the opposite. So maybe De Palma. They should have got to De Palma because he's got a huge ego too.
Do they need more comedy in the casing of the whole place, you think?
Mate. Well, Norton's the only one that's bringing anything. And De Niro's just in autopilot.
De Niro seems old as fuck. You know, going up and down ladders and like in the sewer grates.
Hey,
like,
it's still more believable than Al Pacino doing anything physical.
Yeah, I think we had that discussion yesterday. Last episode where he can never play an athlete.
Yeah,
at least De Niro did one in in Raging Bull.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, he gets points a little camera out there. He fucking points around and shit. We see this a couple of times. She's happy with what's going on. He just needs a little bit more information. Needs to know what kind of safe it is.
And schematics of the security system and how they can hack the cameras.
Yeah. So Angela...
Oh, you want to talk about Angela Bassett?
No, I'll just say Angela Bassett's in the background of all this. She's horny for him. I like this part, though. She raises a glass to him and says, you know what? I'm going to do this. Like, as long as there's no risk of you getting caught, I'm happy. And he won't cheese the glass because he knows I have one more job. One more job to do. And like, I think she's heard this maybe in previous relationships before where someone's just like, you know, I'm done doing it. Like maybe someone was a gambling addict like me. You know, I'm done. It's my last time. So she's just worried that he's not committed. Anyway, so yeah, we get more scenes of Edward Norton's character. He's doing snooping.
Denny's his boss.
Denny's the boss. Yeah, so he's sneaking around. He almost gets caught trying to get these schematics and shit. And then he's like, I got to clean the window. I can't remember who did the quote. I got fingerprints on the window. Yeah, whatever. We'll leave that part in. So essentially, he can't get all the information. He needs to hack it. So Tony, we go to your favorite character. Some tech guy.
It's like he's not old or young. Like he should be definitely a younger guy. His facial hair is all wrong. Like this guy should...
Keep going.
He seems like a crude hacker from a porn movie. Porno.
I got to disagree.
That's the kind of look he has.
I know. Like,
I'm the security hacker. Mom, come down here, suck my dick.
Yeah, the mother joke is dated and it's definitely a lot of cliches surrounding computers and who used computers back in the 2000s and 90s. So it's
falls flat.
Yeah, it falls flat. But I got to admit... He kind of won me over on his last scene.
No.
He won me over. I'll tell you when. But I had the similar thoughts when I first started watching it. I think he's playing like the James Bond game too, Tony, if you could work out what he's playing on that computer. I think it's like
You get that guy. Get fucking... what's his name?
Oh, Alan Rick.
He played Boris.
Alan Rich.
Alan Cumming?
Alan Cumming, that's right. Yeah. Man, fuck that. Yeah, he'd be better.
He's a way better tech guy.
Yeah, but Tony,
that arrogant attitude.
It's such a nothing role and it's in probably filming.
You like to hate Alan Cumming. Fucking hate to hate this guy. You hate him and you make some hate.
I don't know. He won me over, Tony. I'll tell you what he did. I don't know. For some reason, I started liking what he was doing.
Because you see yourself in him, maybe.
Oh, no way.
So that's the only thing I can explain.
So, yeah, the only thing saving this movie at this point is just the chemistry between De Niro and Norton. I feel like maybe when they're scenes together, he sees Norton prepared and like trying. He's like, okay, I got to, you know, do something extra.
Up my game? I don't think so.
No, I think so. I think he ups his game a little bit because... Maybe when Brando's, maybe if Brando's just like, fuck, I'm going to like resort to what Brando's doing, like majority of rules instance.
Like not trying's cool, it seems.
Yeah, exactly. But like it's like embarrassing almost. Like if you tried in front of Brando, like, maybe Norton didn't see that way. And maybe it's like, he's probably disrespecting the whole film, like in the film and industry itself, just not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
So if De Niro puts himself out there.
Just having a go at him, he's like, fuck off, Miss Piggy. That's what I want.
That's insane. I mean, he was fucking doing that. But yeah, we get more information about the safe. That's like, I mean, the cool thing about
it. Somewhere in his shop.
Yes. And he has like a miniature version of it.
Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
And he shows his glass, little glass, like safety measures they have.
See, this is cool.
This is
like,
awesome.
This is like fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you break the glass, it instantly becomes like even like you can't unlock it. You can't break into it. Yeah, it's like this. It's so cool. I love that. And he has this cool line
there's
afterwards.
There's no drilling through the, so you can't pick the lock essentially.
No vibration. Unless you're Lanson, which I don't know if much vibration in that. But it's also a different area. It's also, yeah. This scene here, it ends with them like looking at like photos of the area they're going to break into and like where the safe is in relation to everything else. And I was like, you zoom out of the scene and like just look at what they're doing. They're like just pointing at pictures and shit and just talking. And it's like their screen presence is stretched pretty thin here. And I even wrote in my next note, I was like, this mother living hacker sucks. But as his story progresses, right, and he's like, someone counter-cracked me. And like,
yeah, that's a cool line. That's a pretty cool line, actually.
And the way he was just like fucking complaining and shit, it seemed kind of real. And like they're trying to do all this like lingo and shit that people wouldn't understand. I kind of got it what he was trying to say. Only because it's probably basic.
Well, I think we're all, in this day of age, more computer illiterate.
Yeah, computer adept. Adept.
Adept. Yeah.
Adept. Yeah. So pretty much, so maybe it was 50 grand because I wrote down 50 grand for the codes. But yeah, so pretty much the guy who's like gatekeeping all these codes wants 50 grand for him. So at this point I'm like fucking like we get cut to this park scene. And at this point I'm like,
it's when it gets worse.
Like there's just this film
movie
stock.
Maybe it could have went up or down at this moment.
Yeah. It went down. It looks cheap. The stock footage, or whatever they use on the film, I think it's film, not digital at this point. So the film grading is like just looks cheap as well. The extras they hired are just bad.
I would call them extras. I wouldn't call them actors.
Yeah, they're not.
These guys are plucked up the streets.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Frank Oz's cousins or something.
The worst thing about it is if one spoke, it wouldn't be noticeable. But when they're both speaking and shit, it's just like, oh shit, they're bad. And then you have like Norton opposite them.
Yeah,
and
it feels like he feels bad for him. It feels like
I know, but you can just tell like Norton's just effortless. Oh, bro, it kind of like works in a weird way, like how he's got more.
It works with the dynamic of the scene because he's meant to be the professional, they're meant to be amateurs.
Yeah. You got more authority, so it works as actors.
So it works twice.
Yeah, you see him at the park bench with the headphone and De Niro, and like it's cool, like how they set it up. Like they do seem like they know what they're doing, but then I was just thinking, like, wait a second, Ronan. Ronan was 3 years before. It looks 10 times better. It's a 10 times better movie.
Who directs that?
Frankenheimer, I think.
Reindeer Games guy.
Yeah, I think it's Reindeer Games guy. The movie we're doing this Christmas. Oh, we could do Christmas in July. So, Tony, if you want
to... we'll find out.
If you can't wait.
I would like to do it sooner than better. Sooner than later. The sooner the better, really.
Yeah, we also get more Angel Bassett stuff, but it's all in the background. Who gives a
shit? Yeah, you're seeing through.
Sorry. Let's go. Scene, right? We're going back to the park scene. My bad.
Yeah, so, it's park. Let's stay at the park.
Yeah,
we've got cousins there.
It's so funny because it's like he gives him the money because he won't give the codes. It's like it's money. Also, pretty unprofessional. And he's just like gonna go to count. He's like, whoa, what are you doing? Get to count it. Like we're at the park. Like you set the meet. Like you don't pull at the meet.
Yeah, that's why you don't set a meeting in a public place.
Yeah, exactly. So good. But these guys are just green as fuck. One guy's like sweating and nervous as hell because they're way above their heads. The hacker guy is like verifying all the codes. It's like if you watch Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, so much better.
Dude, they were giving 3 digits at a time, like 2, 9, 6. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Okay, let's verify these 3 numbers.
Yeah.
Like, how boring can it get?
Hack has that good joke. He's like, I'm on the phone, bitch, to his mother.
Yeah.
That's where we're
porn star.
The guy pulls a gun out because he's fucking tweaking. I don't know if it's good escalation, de-escalation tactics by Norton. He shows his piece. He puts the gun away. And then everything just calms down. He gives him the codes. Because the other guy's like, it takes a while to verify these codes. Like, chill. They end up just disappearing instantly after the deal's done.
Yeah, De Niro goes to him, don't bring a gun. I told you to bring a gun.
Yeah, I thought
I might need it. And I did need it.
Next time don't bring a gun. That's right. Yeah. They meet up later. They don't meet up straight away. They all disappear first.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's on the phone to Angela Bassett. He gets the idea about this Lansing thing, I guess, from this drop keg.
Yes,
the pressure. I thought it was ice. Hey. When I saw this, like, oh, it's an ice thing. It's an ice connection. But yeah, pressure, either way, right? The pressure, pretty smart. This is the dinner scene you're talking about, Tony, where long shots.
Listen, tell me something. All the years you've been doing this, what's the biggest gamble you ever took on a job? You know, biggest long shot.
Oh, I don't take long shots.
Look, I know you're careful. You know, I'm careful too. That's not what I mean. I mean, you know, when you were starting out, when you were just getting going, you must have taken some flyers here and there and done something that was a little wild. I'm just curious.
I'm going to say something to you. You're smart, you're talented, you know a few things, but talent means nothing in this game if you don't make the right choices. There's plenty of talented people out there who never see the light of day anymore. Last thing, it takes discipline, because this whole game is one big long shot, and if you don't have the discipline to stay away from the flyers or from the gambles or whatever else you want to call a stupid move, then, my friend, I'm afraid to say one day you will go down. It's inevitable.
So pretty much we're starting to get to our climax now. But that's the problem with this movie, though, because it kind of like builds up momentum, then all of a sudden it just pumps the brakes. Okay, we've got all the information now. This is the peak excitement, too. This should like lead us right into our climax. But instead, we have issues with Brando and his debt. So like now momentum's just stopped just before the heist. So it's a bad
pace. Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It's bad pace.
Like, I don't want to risk all this. But I don't want to risk it. No, you don't get paid.
What do you mean it's not?
It's not. It's a mess. It's not going to work.
Wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. This is absolutely clean, Nick. What are you worried about? Jesus Christ, it's my ass on the line anyway. It's not yours.
I'm not taking the biggest gamble of my life so I can hand my money over to Teddy Salida.
You think you're not going to get your fucking money? Look, there's two things you got to know. One is you're going to get every fucking red cent. And yeah, Teddy knows a little.
He knows.
He knows a little, I said.
So you did lie.
Yeah, lied, you lied. Shit happens, man. Christ almighty. I lied for you and I lied for me. I had to say something to get you to suit up, like always.
I have to tell you something to suit up as always. Shit like this, like to manipulate him.
Yeah, this shit's like just a manipulator, yeah. That's
yeah, right. 100%. Yeah, so De Niro's got cold feet. He thinks it's way too risky. Oh, sorry, one thing about Brando, because they light him really well in this scene, because there's a scene where he's like underneath a handrail or some shit, or near a handrail, and the lighting's like on his face. And yeah, is magnetic. You can't doubt it. Because it was pretty like
superstar.
Shit. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't like read all of that behind the scenes shit, because deep down I'm a nice guy and I know I would hate a douchebag like this. Like, I would just probably not appreciate
that. Well, not a professional, you mean?
Yeah. But just like someone who just bullies people. Like calling someone Miss Piggy to a male who's supposed to be an authority on the set is fucked up. Like, it's disrespectful.
You might be doing that when you're his age, Shane. You never know.
Nah, I don't know.
Nick, it's a tiny door. Open the door. Take the shit. Close the door. We're up.
There's too much bullshit around.
Like, Edward Norton walks in under his alias, Brian, and they're beefing up security. They reveal, like, we know the scepters were, blah, blah, blah.
This mission just got more impossible.
Yes, but even, like, as I said, the setting of the basement, I guess it works for the story because it's supposed to be like underwhelming. Like it's supposed to be like easy to do for like the price.
Yeah, like at the start of it, it's like, this is easy. Now it's getting harder and harder.
Getting harder and harder, but still, man, like I hate to compare it to that scene in Mission Impossible, but the whole white room, like the way they use no noise.
It's visually compelling, yeah.
And like,
it's eye catching.
And like all the sound shit they can't make, like having those obstacles there. What's this? You have a bit of fucking wire cutters and just hack a system. Like, wow, whoop-de-fucking-do.
Like, I kind of like the bowl cutters as cutting the mesh.
Yeah, we'll talk about that very shortly. There's a camera directly faced point at the safe. That's when the score kicks in really nice. The score starts to amp up. But now we have a bit of a flip. Edward Norton's starting to hesitate. He's like, fuck, we can't do this. Like, it's not good. De Niro says, no, we're doing it. It's just an obstacle. We'll get past it.
It feels like we have the same conversation like six times in this movie.
I know, exactly. But I say, man,
pacing. Yeah.
As soon as, I guess, like, they should just cut out that little bit with Brando. Even though, like, we love to see him, he just, like, it just ruined the pacing. Pacing's fucked. But I do like this last, I do like the climax. Like, the climax works because the climax is on now. He walks in, he's got new shoes, smart, because he's like something to distract the guards with.
Is that actually what he does?
Yeah.
The guards?
What do you mean?
That was just a distraction.
I think
so. It wasn't for any practical use.
Oh, Matt, actually, that's a good point. It could be, yeah, could be double T.
So he can run around, but
yeah,
I actually thought there was like some technology in his shoe because like
that doesn't pay off. Doesn't pay off. It's cool that Harry has his like lunch and shit and radio.
So you're doing the opposite of Shawshank Redemption. How do you notice a man's shoes? And this movie contradicts that.
Yeah, I feel like oh yeah, you got nice shoes. Maybe that's a good point. Maybe that was a fuck up on Norton's part. I thought it was on purpose. They're trying to build tension and shit, but the wax the higher level. And he's like, oh shit. Anyway, so he's doing it. De Niro's starting to like oxy-cut his way in. Danny, I think it's Danny. Danny wants to like work through dinner. And Edward Norton's like, he makes a good facial reaction. He's like, oh shit.
It was pancakes, wasn't it? The thing off the pancakes.
That's right.
Knock off earlier pancakes.
And like, it kind of fucks the story up too, because you really like this old dude.
Danny, yeah, you like Danny. He's the heart of this movie.
Yeah, you love him.
The best character.
Yeah.
So at the moment, his look. I mean, it looks maybe better if one of the main characters had Norton, De Niro, or Brando had a mustache. But they're all clean shaven. They should have just differentiated just a little bit.
That's a good point. De Niro looks good with a mustache. Like, he never does it, though, but, like, he's so effective in it.
What, Copland? Yeah, Copland looked good.
Copland, Jackie Brown, probably Godfather Part 2. There's a fair few of them.
Wasn't the Deer Hunter? He had a mad beard in that.
Yeah, he had a facial hair, yeah. He's very reactive. He just probably likes to be clean-shaven. He probably likes to emote. He doesn't want to hide the features.
Yeah,
Like, that's why, and that's...
Don't cover up the movie star.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like Stallone is better with a beard.
Yeah, he's pretty ugly, though. Beard is woman's makeup, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. But if you remember Rocky IV and shit, when he's like training in the snow, he looks good. Even like Schwarzenegger, when he has that stubble in Kindergarten Cop, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. No. I don't think Schwarzenegger pulls it off as well.
Oh, hold on. Let's get the part. Doesn't even matter. So, yeah, he's...
We're starting the job?
Yeah.
No.
Hold on. I've got this, bro. So De Niro, he does one really cool thing. He like gets to the hatch. He like raises it and he pauses. Like, that's good work, bro. Like, that's smart. As an actor, I'm not saying it's smart for the character, but you think like he might get cold feet, but just that little bit of just stopping and like, oh shit, is he going to go through with it? It's just funny, bro, when people are hacking and shit back in the 2000s, if you see all these wires and typing, you just know like he's in.
Yeah, I believe it.
He turns off the thing so we get past the first level of cameras. The security guard like hits a TV and it comes back on to make it work. And like, that's a cliche moment, but it always works. He looks through his like little binoculars after cutting through, and there's like infrared. Oh,
did you miss the trash can when he has to empty the trash out?
I did miss that, but yeah, he has a switcheroo.
I thought De Niro was going to be in the trash can.
Bro, like, how strong is it?
I thought that's how he's getting in. That'd be like, I thought it'd be like a change of plans sort of thing.
Hmm.
But it didn't happen. Well, he would have a little computer server.
Bro, he can't lift someone. Like, the way he lifts that bin, like, it's impossible for someone to be in there.
I could do it.
No, you couldn't.
No, but the thing is, the bin's not actually in the bin. It's next to the bin. He just drags it around because there's two bins, right?
It'd be smart, though, if like, no, it was in the bin. The other bin was in the bin. So you guys, like, lift it up shoulder high.
A whole new trolley.
Yeah, or you just, or just another bin next to it, like on a trolley already or something. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I've been smart.
That'd be better.
So he got all these.
He's in the sewer.
Yeah, he gets all his gear now. Well, actually, we'll talk about this. But yeah, he's hacking, blah, blah, blah. He looks for his light, infrared light. He has all these like climbing devices when you can just use your fingers to climb on.
Which looks cool as. Very practical as well.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You could just use your hands and climb that shit.
And if they're smart, they've covered De Niro's face with the balaclava.
Yeah, that's true.
They stuff men in there very
that's
easily.
True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he does this cool bit how he like glides over the top of the camera. You see his feet briefly, like as he's setting up.
Like the security guards.
A lot, yeah.
But dude, jobs.
How many days are they there a week? Like, and how many months has it been?
What heist is better? This heist or... I forgot the movie's name.
Dog Day
Hudson
Afternoon.
Hawks. No, Hudson Hawks heist at the start when they're singing. Well, yeah, better? What's the better heist?
This is better, but...
Really?
Well, it's grounded. It's grounded. Yeah. That's just like a spectacle.
I find Hudson Hawks opening heist more entertaining than this climactic.
That's a nostalgia, bro. I think I like this one better because of the realism, but I do like that scene. Like, it just sucks, too, because I actually like that movie, too. But that's I know it's bad, though. And I do like it. It's arguably...
We're suckers for Hollywood. Hold
up.
Maybe not Hollywood, but Hollywood movies we saw when we were younger. We're suckers for that.
I don't think I've got a third pick yet, Tony. Should we pick Hudson Hawk?
Yeah,
maybe we can get Shorty or Jordan on it. But yeah, let's do Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Yeah, it's a heist. It's a movie star heist trilogy. It goes our last segment, or one of our last segments. Okay, so De Niro's waiting for the okay to drop down. This is where I like because I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, I have company. Norton's fucking with him.
Yes, I think all he's doing is tiring him out. So he's more easily...
No.
He gives up easier.
I don't think so. Unless they edit it out.
That's what he's doing.
No.
He's making him give up at the end. He's like, give me the scepter. So he's more susceptible. He's like, okay,
he's
fuck it. I'm done.
He's weakening him.
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
I just think like he's just trying to like push him, just push him because he's like being disrespected. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So he's at breaking point. He's like, I'm pulling it. I'm calling it. I'm out.
I can't hold on any longer, please. Yeah. I'm out. Yeah, I can hold on.
He's like, I got it. That's funny. I got it. So it's just weird though, because they didn't really nail the turn. But yeah, so the cameras go out. They're looking behind the thing, looking at cords and shit. This is all working for me. I like all this. At that moment, Danny's walking around the place like, where have you seen Brian? He's like, so nice. Like, you can't have him so nice. I don't know. It's a negative towards the movie. He's like plasma cutter now. He's fucking, I know, Tony.
Which is one of the most loudest things you ever do.
Yeah.
It's insane that like, how many levels is this place?
They're at the basement, but that is fucking loud. I don't think you understand how loud it was. I wrote that in my notes as well. So he goes through all the shit in the safe. He finds the scepter. Pretty cool. Like, as I said, I think it's underwhelming. Tony, you like it. He gets out, but at this moment, Danny has found Brian. It's so fucking sad because pretty much puts a gun in the back of his head, and he actually like turns him around too, and he's like, "I like you,"
but I was like, "You're a good man. I don't want to hurt you. Do not make a sound. Do not fuck this up for me."
Yeah,
yeah.
He's just too harsh, and the way this guy acts to afterwards, like he's like shell shocked on fucking Pearl Harbor or some shit.
Like his son just died. Like, well, technically. His reality is shattered.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. He thinks he's home free. He's fucking bailing because he knows, like, there's not much time.
He's already late. He's already late.
Edward Norton there with a gun. I like how he tells him to take off the mask.
Which is lame.
Why?
It's all my gunpoint.
What?
Should have been smarter.
Not really, bro. There's a time limit. You're not going to be smarter. You're just like, give me this shit.
Well, yeah.
And it's also...
He kind of suits his character.
It's all about the theatrics too, because I was like, why wouldn't you just shoot him? But no, he wants him to live with the fact that Norton
that
beat him.
That he beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's actually a good plan. Like,
but why wouldn't you check the bag, man?
No, dude, it's
amateur
shaped.
Hour.
It's shaped and weight is the same.
Yes, because they've already played with the dummy version of it, remember? It was in their little plans. With no case, then there's like a...
You can blame it to Norton's ego, like thinking like, yeah, I'm ahead of him. Like, he's not going to use the dummy. He's got to fucking just give me the scepter. So I had that issue too. I was like, okay, it better be filled with something. Like, because as if he's that dumb. But I feel like because he's got like a replica.
He underestimated him. He's like, he's just a safecracker.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm the mastermind.
And I actually wrote down here the old Chuchuru because I knew straight away, like, he wasn't going to, like, lose. But yeah, it's cool. He goes, So you can either
better than if you did look.
Yeah, so you can either chase me or you can hide your face for the camera. And then the timer goes off on the computer. He said,
you know, chase me or smile for the camera.
Oh yeah, smile for the camera. But yeah, so the timer goes off, they both run. It's good.
De Niro comes his face straight away.
I know, it's good.
Pretty funny.
You know, well, you think that's good, bro. That's what you do.
Yeah, he's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's why Norton's fucked at the end, because everyone knows what he looks like.
But we should discuss, man, was he getting the sucker's share?
I think he was, yes. I think he worked out he was getting $6
million. Yeah.
Well, but he knew it was high, because what were you going to get? $5-6 million? See, that's not fair. Like, we should have been partners. Yeah. He was not happy with the arrangement, even though he could have been a man about it.
Yeah.
We discussed it.
Yeah, it's true. But no, I feel like he did probably deserve half, because he's probably compromised a lot of his ethics and morals and shit for like how many, like degraded himself.
And yeah, like how long on the job he was on for. Like he was just,
yeah,
he did doing all the hard work.
But he needed De Niro more than De Niro needed him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So everyone needed each other.
Yeah, but he's a newbie too. Like I think what De Niro was trying to tell him, like you just take it one thing at a time.
Build it up slow.
He build up slow. Like, and he could have probably worked for Brando, because Brando's not going to stop. It's fucking greedy, that guy. He's going to fucking owe Scarelli like another fucking
Soprano.
$4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. The poor old man Danny's yelling, Brian, running downstairs.
Danny breaks out of the closet just by pushing on the door, it seems.
Yeah.
Like, he just put a heavy bunch of old wire there. Like, not that smart.
Yeah.
It's great. Tension, like is it not going to get out without being stopped?
Yeah.
So finally the guard's like, go outside, just get the hell out of here, just leave.
Yeah, it's cool. And like the SWAT members come in, and as he's coming out and he can't get to him. I think he was saying it was Brian or some shit. You know, old janitor, bro. No one's going to listen to you at this point anyway.
Do you think they should have done a Usual Suspects sort of reveal of him like walking away from the bank?
They sort of do it. He has a moment where he like changes his face to like, sinister.
That was his spacey moment.
Yeah, but that was in the hallways, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I think you remember. Anyway, so we have a good like similarities between De Niro and Edward Norton. They're both getting changed. They're both getting on the way. Like he's running, old mate gets in his car, and of course Edward Norton calls him to gloat. Or was
that's
it other
what it's
way?
About just gloating.
Yeah, and I was just like, fuck, I hope he just hits him with the car or something. Like that'd be just like and just like perk the bag or some shit. But then
this should have been like halfway through the movie. This should have been at the hour and
yeah, so you think change the movie to like and a then, more cat and mouse shit, like the climax.
Yeah, now it turns to a cat and mouse thing.
Yeah. And the climax is going to be them two head to head.
Yeah. Do something like that. But to be honest, I wanted more out of their relationship now.
Tony.
As the movie's ending. I wanted more. I'm not satisfied with how they ended things.
All right. Probably 15 years ago, this question is probably harder to answer, but now I think I got the answer. And you can't just do the movies, but punch for punch, who's the better actors? I'm not talking about like movie versus movie. De Niro and Edward Norton, or Pacino and Matthew McConaughey.
Damn.
Yeah.
I prefer Two for the Money over this movie.
And I didn't say that. I said don't compare Two for the Money to this. I prefer Two for the Money as well. It's just a fun time. It's flawed, but the flaws don't fuck with the movie like this one does.
Okay, yeah. But
who's the better?
The mentor.
Because at the moment.
The mentor, mentee.
Well, let's just break it down like this. Who's better, De Niro or Pacino?
Pacino.
All right. McConaughey or Norton?
Norton.
Okay.
So would you watch Two for the Money with Norton and Pacino, or you watch the score with McConaughey and De Niro?
I feel like...
What's the better movie there?
Wow. Norton in Two for the Money is better. Well, I feel like McConaughey will add shit, but McConaughey will actually... I reckon that's a good switch. One will become less, like, serious, and the score might be a bit funner, a bit lighter, and the other one becomes a bit more heavy. But
do you think McConaughey could pull off the act of pretending to be disabled? Could McConaughey pull it off?
Not that stage of his career. Yeah, it's gonna be that's a good thought exercise. But so what, Tony? So you still think Pacino will rise up above with McConaughey?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think McConaughey's better. I think McConaughey's better than Norton, only because. I mean, because of his recent stuff.
McConaughey's the true detective, man. That's what Norton needs to do. He needs to find a series like that and really
Bro, I'm talking. I'm talking about freaking and Killer Joe, bro. When he has like the corn or whatever he's got, and he's making a suck it.
Yeah, the chicken drumstick,
which is like on stage, on stage as well. So yeah, Edward Norton thinks he's got it, and then De Niro has. This is classic De Niro. What have you got?
I have never even checked the bag.
Yeah, and he's like, so essentially, he checks the bag. That shit's fucking empty. Like, it's not empty, but it's got that lap replica. I was like, when do you think you were better than me? I think De Niro said that to him. And then, like, I'll put the quotes in because he said something. He's like, how'd you put it? I mean, he's like, just get over it, essentially.
Yeah, like, no, we're done here.
Mm.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. Just let it go.
Deal with it.
Yeah, it's like, how did you
deal with it?
Yeah. And De Niro just hits it back with him. He's like, how'd you put it?
But Norton's killing it right now because he's holding back. Tears because he's just lost like $30 million.
Oh, and he's on the run.
And he's got, and he's on the, like, his life is fucked.
Well,
lost.
Man, his plan was $30 million, retire. Like, that was the big swing. Like, that was the long shot. There's something there. That's what I'm saying. The ending kind of saves it. And then, he gets, like, pretty much revealed on TV. Brando's like, oh, fuck, they failed. And then
Manhunter's out.
Yeah.
Man, he's on, he's fucked.
Yeah.
He's on the run for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and then
he has to leave the country or something.
Yeah, and so Brando's like, "Oh shit," he looks defeated, and then the next suspect is like not there, and he's like, "Oh shit," he's actually pulled it off, the son of a bitch, with a CGI smile. So that's the end of the movie. He meets up with his love interests at the end at the airport, and it fades to black. End of credits. A lot of things you can change. A lot of ways to improve this movie. Dog Day Afternoon is 10 times better. Frank Oz is not Sidney Lumet. If you can't tell, I'm already into my final thoughts. I'd watch this movie again, like every probably 20 years or something, when I forget how actually bad it is. So I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. All right, Tony, what's your final thoughts, man?
That's the score for the score. That's your score for the
score. That's the score for this shit movie.
This movie, all right, I would buy it in a multi-pack. With De Niro movies.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of three movies. Oh, yeah. So Ronin, Heat, and Score, they're all like sort of heist movies. So that's the free pack I'd buy it in. It's an interesting watch just for the, solely for the Brando, Norton, and De Niro together.
Yeah.
I'll give it six out of 10.
Can you imagine if this movie didn't have any actors in it? Like if it had like, or like it was a B-grade movie. Would it be better or worse?
More interesting. Do you think? See, with like the actor, because it is an interesting performance that Norton's character.
So the act play. So Tony, the actors we got is the actors out of the big hit 1998. But Mark Wahlberg's, we can have Mark Wahlberg. So would that
imagine him trying to do the disabled part?
He always focuses on the disabled part. You have to add that shit. It's added. It's like he's a janitor who's like nice. You don't have to be. Special, but okay.
Like Will Hunting.
Yeah, like he's extra smart. You're smart, bro. Okay. All right. Sorry to derail. Here you go. Finish your final thoughts.
I just finished it. 6 out of 10. My score for the score.
So I've rated a bit higher. That sucks. All right. Oscar picks. I'm going to go first and give mine to Edward Norton. He's the one who put the most effort in. And yeah, he was most prepared. And poor Frank Oz. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'm going to give my Oscar to the score.
Oh, wow.
So Howard Shaw.
Yep, nice.
Not best picture.
Yeah. Okay, so.
I like the score.
We have the podcast Same Way with free clues for next episode. Hope you're listening because you'll definitely guess it, but we're doing Hudson Hawk, Bruce Willis, Pet Project, isn't it, Tony?
Richard E. Grant.
Yeah. But is he.
Danny Aiello.
Yeah, isn't it.
Mini Driver.
Yeah, it's a good cast for what the.
David Caruso.
But Tony. It's but would you say it's his pet project? Like this is the one he spearheaded, didn't he?
This is when he had all the power from Die Hard.
Yeah.
And all the pull, and then he made this movie.
Wow.
And then I think he lost half of it.
Yeah. All right, so Hudson Hawk, it came for that next weekend. So hey Tony, how would you end the movie?
Like I said before, make the ending on this movie like an hour and a half in, and the rest of the movie cat and mouse with De Niro setting up Norton to get arrested.
I would end it with Edward Norton rocks up to Marlon Brando and begs for help.
Actually, you know what? I changed my answer. I'll change my ending to Marlon Brando, the original choice was not to smile as De Niro gets away with it. He shouldn't be smiling.
Just frowning and shit.
Yeah, just straight face. Don't change your expression.
I want another scene with Brando, De Niro, and Norton. So somehow I'll make that work. But yeah, all right, let's do some deadly puns. We have No One Dies. So maybe let's do like a safe cracking pun. Click, 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 click. Oh, yeah, okay. It's like Edward Norton's on the thing. He's like, hurry up, hurry up. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? And he's like setting up the C4, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like this big noise. And he's like, what the hell? What are you doing down there? It's so loud. He's like, yeah, well, I just blew the doors off this place. That's pretty bad.
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty bad.
All right, Tony, you had to have a deadly pun this time because you didn't have one for Dog Day Afternoon.
No, didn't I? I swear I had one.
No, you gave up. You're like rhyming and shit.
I said Sal. See you,
like
Sal.
Sal, pal, snail, mow.
Oh.
No. Just don't, and that'd be going De Niro, Cianaro, Alo, Adiosio.
Adios, dude. All right, I'm not doing I've got nothing. I gotta go. Look at the score. I know you need something with the score. What's the score? This movie. It's over.
That's pretty good. That's actually not bad. I think you used that joke already, though.
Yeah. Okay. Nicely done. Nicely done. Now let's talk about this.
Okay, let's see. How'd you put it? Deal with it? It's over?
No. I don't think so. You want me to list the ways I can burn you? We either work this out right now or I will take you down.
Oh, yeah? How? My shop, my tools, they're gone. Me and my friend, I'm just a tax-paying jazz club owner. You, every cop in the city is going to be looking for you right about now.
So if I were you, I'd quit making threats and hit the road. Nice working with you, Ace.
Okay, bye-bye.